The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Ian Stratford-Taylor, Chief Executive Officer of Equals Group, EQLS. His ticker, Ian, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Justin. You almost forgot my name then, didn't you?
Well, it's been a while, but I know Paul's been covering you because, you know, he likes you, likes the stock, and I can see why. You know, you've done a trading update today, two parts there, from the period of the 1st of January to 6th of December, and from 1st of October to 6th of December as well. And I've got to point this out, results exceed full-year expectations. Past investment drives growth across the platform and delivers record revenues. It must be nice to say that, isn't it, in a market which is full of worry at the moment.
I'm so excited to be able to say it, to be honest with you. You know, we believed in what we've been doing for the last two or three years, and I know it's been difficult for the market maybe to see through to the end, you know, this sort of if you build it, they will come type thing. But you can now see that what we've assembled, what we've invested in, the platforms that we have, which we're continuing to iterate, are delivering, exciting growth. And so, yes, I really am excited to be able to say it. And we're very positive as we look forward, always being mindful of being, watching out for the unknown, as we've all learned over the last couple of years.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so before we get into the figures, a bit more detail there, Ian, just for people maybe not familiar, they may be listening for the first time because they see a rising in a market that's not too buoyant there, and they're thinking, what's all this about then? So for them and for other people not too familiar, just give them a summary of what the business is about, please.
I will, and it's interesting, isn't it, Justin, because, you know, when you've asked me this over the years, of course, the description has changed. So what I could be describing now is radically different from what we were three or four years ago, where we were more dominated by a sort of retail travel money business with some foreign exchange on the side. Now we are B2B, so corporate focused on SMEs, providing foreign currency and payment solutions all in one platform, such that companies can very simply and efficiently change currencies and move it wherever they want to in the world. Fast, instant access to money, bank-grade connectivities, super high security levels, all of that good stuff. So it's that sort of one-stop shop that provides a solution for small SMEs, or, you know, SMEs is our focus, but increasingly we've added on what we call solutions, which is the same thing, only for bigger corporates that have much higher volumes.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that, the description's changed, because I think some people who may not have been, you know, keeping up the story may think you have a huge exposure to travel, which you don't now. I mean, looking at the revenue here, it's pretty much the majority, 90-95%, is it, non-related, travel-related? So it's all focused towards that. So take us through some of the figures, if you could, Ian.
As you can see from the numbers that we had, the first half of the year, I think we did about 16.9 million of revenue. And, the second half, we're now we've already pushed through 40 million. So you can see that we've done over 20 million already so far. You know, who knows what December brings. We still remain optimistic, but you never know what's going to happen for the rest of the 23 days that we have left of the year. What you can see there clearly is that the growth has accelerated in the second half of the year. And that is because towards the end of H1, we finally managed to put in place what's called own name IBANs, which is a bit of a mouthful, I understand that. But it essentially means that we can give all our corporate customers an account in their own name rather than being a pooled account, as it's called at most payment providers and FX providers. Mm-hmm. One account can be multi-currency and have one IBAN, so one descriptive number. And that just opens up a huge amount of possibilities for all of our customers. And hence why we've had that sort of rapid acceleration of revenue, because we have more we can offer to our underlying corporate customers.
Yeah, that's amazing. So just looking at the increases, like you say, group revenue for the year, 40.4 million compared to 26.8, same period last year in 2020, increase of 51%. And for the period, that's from, of course, October, the 1st of October, it's gone up by 105% to 11.6 million from 5.7. So it's going well. Now, you, in the period, even discounting that big corporate transaction, but let's talk about that a sec, because a big corporate, a one-off of 1.5 million, that's good, isn't it? Is that the start of things to come? Do you think, you know, when you get big corporates trying this and it works out for them, they'll do it again?
Well, I mean, we call it a one-off, which would imply no. I mean, clearly we're set up to do that type of stuff, but, you know, I'm not forecasting it or predicting it. But would I be surprised if we did similar transactions, maybe not quite as large as that? Yes, you know, we're definitely set up to do it, and you know, but I don't think you should rely on it, if that makes sense. So if we get stuff like that, we'll inform the market, so that, you know, it's important for the market to understand the underlying trend and to be able to exclude the one-offs. And so that's why we reported it, and why we've made it clear, so you can see both sets of numbers.
Yeah, exactly. And but you mentioned here you're confident going forward, like you said earlier, you know, being mindful of unknowns, I suppose, but confidence in accelerating momentum, maintaining growth. So how are you going to achieve this? How are you going to continue this growth, Ian?
Well, two things, really. We're bolstering our sales capabilities, sales and marketing capabilities constantly. You know, we've got a new head of sales who arrived relatively recently, who's excellent, and we're adding more bodies in terms of sales. Plus, you know, about a year ago now, we put in a CRM system called HubSpot, and you know, anyone that's worked with a CRM system knows it takes time to really not just get the system, you know, in and connected to all your various products and databases, but also to get your people such that they work well with it. So at every step of the sales journey, be it from lead sourcing all the way through to onboarding, we're making improvements to all of that and investing in it, because we see what we have now as, you know, capabilities we've assembled. And by the way, the second part of that puzzle is that we will be continuing to invest in the platform, adding more functionality. But, you know, we see we have something that's hard to replicate. Not many people have. So the pressure now is to sell it, and to sell it better to customers. We have a very healthy pipeline, particularly on the solution side of the business right now. But, you know, if you don't maximize the opportunity when you have it, I think we as a business and our investors will look back and regret it. So that's what we're intending to do. And we allude to that, you know, in our communications, in that, you know, our headcount will probably go up as we do that, but not, you know, to crazy levels. But I think it's important to invest in growth, you know, whilst we're in this position.
Yeah. And so you are confident, say, looking forward, but I know this, you know, this sort of reality is less severe than the perception and the worries, I think, with the Omicron. But have you seen any effect of that of late on the business?
It's tough, isn't it? I mean, you know, no one really knows. It seems to be clear that it's more transmissible, and, you know, one hopes it's less virulent.
Yeah.
But no one knows. As you mentioned earlier, you know, our reliance, as was, on travel money related revenues, you know, it's very small. I can't see even the revenues going down much from where they are, because they're certainly not back to normal levels. And, you know, that is a revenue dividend we hope to recoup at some point in the future when things normalise, as we might say. So we've not seen any impact yet. But, you know, I guess the bigger worry would be if this really sort of causes another global economic slowdown. You know, that would obviously affect us if our customers are doing less. So we're mindful of it, but not as worried as we would be if we were travel reliant as we used to be, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And if anything, I suppose it's going to get, like you said, it can't get any lower, and it's probably going to get better. I noticed the sort of results from TUI today. He said the bookings have been slow and cancelled, you know, in the next month or so, but bookings for the summer are up at pre-pandemic levels. So I think everyone is expecting it to be, you know, a temporary problem, if that, and maybe you'll get the benefit next year. So it's an extra.
Expecting or hoping, Justin? No,
yeah. Not... yeah, exactly. You know, who knows?
Who knows? But you know, I think the global economy is better placed to deal with shutdowns, lockdowns, and all this type of stuff. So one would hope that economic activity is not as badly hit as it was, you know, the last couple of years when everything was locked down and people found it hard to get to work. But that's why, you know, as I say, we're confident, but we'll have sensible numbers in the market that we believe we can beat. And so that's the way we're approaching it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, share price is looking good. It's touching 70 pence. That's it hasn't been there since January 27th, 2020. So it's rising and it's an uptrend. It looks very strong. It's looking very good. So the market is catching on.
Yes, I hope so. You know, I say, we have morphed over the last couple of years. And I think it should be clear to see now from what we've reported over the last 18 months, you know, that the business is in a good place and on the right trajectory.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. So, Ian, if you could, as always, as you know, 10 companies on the front page of Vox, they're most followed. There's follow buttons next to them to get on that list. If you could, give us 3 quick reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page and add Equals Group to their watch list, please.
3 reasons. Revenues, profits, cash.
That's good.
But, our revenues are growing strongly. The profits will follow because, you know, although we will invest more in selling more, you know, which has a lag, you know, we don't need to massively increase the cost base of the business as the revenues go up. And, you know, we're now throwing off cash. So we're in a very healthy position to grow faster, maybe acquire other businesses, et cetera, et cetera. So I think those, when it boils down to it, That's the simple message, Justin.
Yeah, quietly confident for the future, yeah. I'd say. Right, marvellous stuff. Thanks very much, Ian, and hopefully we catch up in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, I hope so.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.